Here is Paul writing to the church in Rome, talking to the people there who were cosmopolitan, urban, part of that wonderful civilization that we studied from school, that was home to so many of the institutions and traditions that we so value. Talking to the people about how, no matter how hard they tried, they could not satisfy God, could not fulfill God's promise without having the Spirit of Jesus Christ within them. Some of those people were Greeks and had worshipped Greek gods. Some were Romans and had worshipped Roman gods. Some of them were Jews and were familiar with the Jewish tradition. But all of them were, by Paul's understanding, in need of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to be able to receive the promise of God and to become part of the family of God. Paul says that the flesh is death. If all we are is flesh, then we are going to die. And our flesh will die. The question is, will there be anything left? Will there be anything to go on from this world into the next without Christ's Spirit, without being in the Spirit, without being Spirit? We have no hope, only death. That's pretty harsh. That's pretty scary. I want to live. I want to be in Jesus' arms. I want to be one of God's children. I want to be able to share in that promise that Jesus Christ says we are all children of God if we will but accept His gift of salvation. I mean, that's what this Holy Communion meal is all about, isn't it? Accepting that gift of Christ's Spirit. We eat the bread and drink the wine and say that it's the body and blood of Christ, but anybody can eat bread and drink wine, or, you know, we're talking good Methodist grape juice here. No alcohol involved. But in order to be filled with the Spirit, we must first empty ourselves of worldly concerns. If we're filled up with worldly stuff, then where is there room for spiritual stuff? I remember shortly after getting clean and sober, going to a fancy dinner, and the waiter started to pour wine in my glass, and I said, no, I don't drink anymore. I just want water. Well, he says, do you want me to take the glass? I said, no, just put water in the glass with the wine. And he did, and it turned this pretty pink color. And I felt really stupid, because rather than being subtle and, you know, I had made myself that much more obvious, because everybody else either had a glass of water or a glass of nice dark red wine, and here I had this pretty pink strawberry soda looking stuff. And I thought, well, I'll drink some of it, and then he'll pour more water in there, and it'll go away. And yes, the more water made it lighter pink, but it was still pink. I had not emptied my glass, and so when I filled it, I did not fill it with pure, clean water. It was still polluted with that wine that I had let him leave in the bottle. Wasn't enough to get me drunk, wasn't enough to cause me to relapse, but it was enough to make me feel really stupid. How often do we do that in our lives? We talk about being Christian. We try and walk with Him and talk with Him, but then something comes along that challenges us or scares us or overwhelms us or worries us or troubles us or gets our attention in some way, and we fall right off that good old road to heaven and right back into that earthly mud and find ourselves all caught up in that earthly stuff all over again. Paul asks us to cast out our fleshly concerns in order to fill ourselves with spiritual concerns. And we're not perfect. So we're not get it all right the first time. We're probably not going to get it all right the second time. It started out being red, then it became pink, and then it got a little lighter pink. But, you know, that glass still had some wine in it even after the meal was over. We've still got earthly things that catch us, that we're attached to, that we struggle with, that we worry about, that we're overwhelmed by, that distract us from walking and talking with our Lord. But we work on it. We continue to try and pour out the earthly concerns, to let go of the earthly troubles, to stop the earthly worries, and to take on the spiritual, to become that perfect, pure, living water that then pour out for others. I work with people who struggle with addiction. And for a lot of them, to be able to not use seems like it ought to be enough. To be able to put down the bottle or the pipe or the whatever it is that they're attached to ought to be enough. The problem is, they may have put it down, but it's still out there waiting for them. And unless they are willing to change their lives and become more like that one perfect human being that we all worship, they are very likely to go back to being what they were. If they want to keep on doing what they're doing, they're going to keep getting what they've been getting, and they're going to find themselves back in trouble. It's true for us too. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We want to be one of those children of heaven. We want to be one of those people of God, but when we keep acting like people of the earth, when we keep getting caught up with worldly things, when we keep getting trapped in earthly concerns, then we prove ourselves wrong, that we have not given up, that we have not heard the cry of the needy, as our liturgy says, that we have not been good children of the Most High God. And so we remind ourselves on first Sundays that it is the body and blood of Christ, His sacrifice, His willingness to give up His life, that we might have a spiritual life, a Holy Spirit to be our advocate, that we might be able to change our lives and cease to be the worldly creatures that we are, and become the spiritual creatures that we can be. Hallelujah. It's a process. We won't get it right the first time. We probably won't get it right the second time. We may not get it right the third time, but we keep trying. And so we keep coming back to that table and getting down on our knees and asking God to fill us with His Spirit. But if we haven't kicked out those old spirits, just like when you haven't poured the spirits of wine or whatever form of alcohol you choose to imbibe in or other drugs out of your life, there's not much room for the Spirit of God to fill up your life. The body and blood of Christ. An example of a sacrifice that offers us His Spirit in this Lenten season. If you seek to sacrifice something earthly, fleshly, human, but don't stop there. Fill that empty space with something divine, something wondrous, something spiritual, something loving, something perfect, something pure, that we may be more like our Lord Jesus Christ.